Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
There's one in and one out tonight. James is missing, but Gaz is back. Welcome to episode 51 of the Premier Non-League Podcast. We still haven't got a full house. We're 3 weeks into, three episodes into recording this year, but it's going to happen at some point, isn't it, lads?
It will.
Anyway,
so. Do we hope so? Do we?
Is no one going to have a 100% record this year? That's the question, isn't it?
I loved Chris's tweet earlier about the hour. Yeah.
really good. We have got some 100% records, haven't we, to talk about a little bit later in the show. But before we get underway, Pete, you're right?
Yeah, I'm very good, mate. Yourself?
Well, apart from the hoarse voice, I'd love to say it's shouting goals everywhere, but unfortunately, I've no idea, no sore throat or anything, but just...
It's come from me when you came round on Thursday.
Possibly,
I felt
rough
all weekend, to be honest with you.
Oh, thanks, mate. I really appreciate
that. That's
all right. sounding like a husky sex line worker. Chris, how are you doing up there in the north?
Yeah, I'm really well, thanks. Really well.
And Gaz is actually here babyless this evening for the first time, I think.
She's not even in the house. She's
really?
Gone out with the wife. It's just me and the boy, and he's watching Star Wars or something in his bed. So
superb. As always, since we recorded 2 weeks ago, as always... always something to talk about. Hopefully we've got ourselves a little special guest coming up a little bit later in the show, as we did promise and tease on Twitter. Not quite who we were expecting, but nonetheless someone we're happy to have on a bit later. And we'll kick off with, I think we'll start with you, Chris, up at South Shields. And you're sitting rather pretty at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, it's been a good start. The National League, I keep going to say Northern Premier League, I can't get it out of my head. The National League North has thrown up one or two surprises so far this season, with Spennymoor doing well and Blythe, for instance, having a good start in particular, but they've just started to drop down the league slightly. But all in all, absolutely thrilled with what we've seen so far. The brand of football is terrific. The excitement is 50% better than last year. And because the opposition are of a better standard, it's obviously providing for a better product. So yeah, find ourselves in third, and tomorrow night, which is Tuesday, we're taking on second place Scunthorpe, which, you know, 7-8 years ago when Geoff Thompson brought South Shields back from the brink, I think there was something like 8 divisions between South Shields and Scunthorpe, and hey ho, they play each other in a league fixture tomorrow night. Mental.
And are you sort of, we spoke a couple of weeks ago and said about the standard being that you know, a little bit better. But when you look at the North Division as well, it's as tight as it was last year. There's, I think, 3 points between something like third and 10th or something, and then 14th to 23rd. It's a really tight division so far.
Very tight. What I've noticed is there's not a massive gap between Northern Premier League and National League North. It's not a massive gap, but there is a difference. But because I still believe the Northern Premier League is probably the toughest of the Trident leagues, Shields and Warrington have been kind of, they've rehearsed pretty well, I guess. So, and because other teams aren't just simply parking the bus, it makes for a better product all round. And I must admit, I've been really pleased with how things have gone. Not quite so pleased with what we experienced at Darlington last Monday. off the field, but that's another matter.
Okay. I know Pete said he watched the highlights a bit earlier today, and he said no word of a lie. You could have had eight on Saturday.
Definitely, we should have been. We're 3-0 up at half time. We should have been 5, and then we missed 2 gilt-edged chances in the second half. So it should have been 8-0 really. But that's not to say that the opposition, you know, just folded. They didn't. It was a good spectacle, and of course it's been well documented. Our opposition Banbury had a couple of supporters who made quite a journey to get there.
Oh really? Go on, tell us a little bit more.
Well, it was two super fans who decided that they were going to make the journey because there was no supporters buses on, because the players travelled up on the Friday night in individual cars. So yeah. They got themselves to Birmingham and flew from Birmingham to Dublin.
Wow.
Dublin to Newcastle, and then got the Metro, which is the equivalent of the underground, I guess, in Tynemere,
yeah.
To Bede Station, which is our station for the ground. So I think it was a 40-hour round trip, including the game.
Wow.
So the hats off to them. And to be fair, they've spoke really well. There's a blogger written really well about it, about the welcome they received from the Shield supporters and management and committee, and the Banbury chairman bought them beers. So it was just a brilliant feel-good non-league story. It's just a great story, just epitomising what non-league football is all about, really.
Or Chris, should be about.
We should be about, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of supporters. We send a lot of supporters all over the country. You know, we've made a lot of supporters very well, and we've made a lot of friends. And going back to what I said, we were at Darlington on Bank Holiday Monday, and we were segregated, which is fair enough. But we couldn't have a drink. It was just soft drinks. And the catering, because it was an outside catering wagon, our food cost 100% more than the home end. So you could get burger and chips for £5.50, and we were paying £10.50.
Whoa.
That's so
shocking. And of course we were stood on a grass bank. It's a grass bank that we were standing on. So it's not ideal, and
that's not right.
A lot of fans are saying, well, we should do that to them when they come back, but that's not fair to their supporters. That's not right, really, is it?
No, it's not. Exactly, it's not right. But if they're doing that to you, why shouldn't you do that to them?
But I suppose one way of looking at it is, there's a lot of us, myself included, just didn't bother buying anything at all. I wasn't going to pay that. And if their fans felt the same, well, you're losing out, aren't you? So as a club, you have to maximise your income stream, because at the end of the day, the income that made was an outside catering van. So,
we've noticed that you go to Ray Grant, like we were Dover the other week, and...
Oh, here we go.
No, they were fine. they're absolutely fine. I even had a chat with their chairman, Nick Parmenter. I'll just let you know.
There you go. Very good.
I built some bridges. but they don't allow drinking pitch side. And obviously, Chris, you've had the same experience. And you're like,
yeah,
it's costing you money. It's costing you revenue, income. You're allowed at this level to drink pitch side.
Yeah.
So why not? The same though, Pete. Put the talking. Dorking didn't allow pitchside drinking when they were in the south either.
It's weird, isn't it? I've drank pitchside. No, actually, Dorking, there's a section. You can't go past a certain section.
With
a drink. Yeah. But in that section, you're okay to have a drink pitchside, but as long as you don't go out of it.
In defence of Dorking, though, they're at the county FA, aren't they? So they might have... It might not be Dorking that have made the rules. It might be the FA that have...
I don't know. Lancing, I think you can't you? For the Sussex FA, you're allowed to drink. I mean, I know they're a lower step, but...
With Darlington, the home supporters could have a drink. And I think we're drinking perhaps pitch side. It's just we weren't allowed any at all. There's no alcohol, nothing.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I'll tell you what might be a touch, Chris, is when you actually play them at home, is offer them food... that's actually less than what they would be paying in their home end, and actually make a point that way rather than charging the extra, because that's that's almost, you know,
or from a horse burger or something like that.
Well, because we, when it's segregated, we do have a catering wagon, but it's ours. It's a permanent catering wagon that's open for every game, home and away, every home game, segregated or not. So what they do when it is segregated, they fill the fridge with cans, you know, so supporters can have an alcoholic drink if they want one. The cans are opened and poured into plastic containers. And so the home, the traveling support get a good product. So I think we are, you know, as a we'll do the same to them, but you're probably just cutting your nose off to spite your face, and you're losing out on potential revenue.
Absolutely. Pete, Worthing, what happened?
Whoops.
Glitch in the Matrix.
A glitch in the Matrix. Very. I assume you'd rehearsed that line sort of all the way through, and, you know, for the last 15 minutes, ready to deliver.
I've been saying it for days in the groups and everything. I think what it was, we'd signed two players. One of them was announced Friday. One of them was announced Saturday morning.
Yeah.
One of them, Bailey Smith, he was with us as an academy player.
Right.
Quite a few years ago. Went to Brighton. Got him on loan. So I think he's only 18. And we signed a kiddie centre-back from Wycombe Wanderers.
Right.
And I think he's only 19.
Yeah.
And we had players coming back from injury as well. Aaron Racine, our usual captain, centre-back. His wife had a baby last Wednesday.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to him. I did say that, but I wasn't saying that after the match. Because we missed him.
He didn't have the baby, did he? The corduroy team?
This is what a lot of people have been saying. He didn't have the baby, did he? He should have been fine by Saturday.
Can we just say it's taken me three episodes to actually be on for a whole episode? So let's and there we go.
Yeah, so if you want an excuse, there's Gareth there. You know, just Gareth.
I got your back, Aaron, don't worry.
Yeah. there's all your answers right there, Gareth. Right. Yeah, so we missed him. Players coming back from injury, etc. Braintree, I don't think they're that great, to be honest. Caught us on the counter attack. Obviously, we were going for it in the second half. They only scored once in the second half. It was all over by half time. But their goalkeeper made two great saves in the first half as well. 4-0. I felt it probably flattered them a little bit, because we did have some good spells in the game, some good passing and movement. We made chances. Like I said, the goalkeeper had a blinder, but one of those things. But it's all forgotten when my phone's going mental this evening, because we've signed Danny Cashman, who was released from Coventry City last Friday. And he played pre-season for us a few years back. And he was unbelievable. I think I said before we started that he was the best player I'd seen down at Woodside Road in my time since 2017 of following them. I'm absolutely over the moon with that signing. I can't wait to see him tomorrow night if he's involved. So we can forget about Saturday now. Thank you, James.
I think as well, Pete, as our guest a bit later on in the show will tell us, you know, when you're top of the table, you're there to be shot at, aren't you?
Yeah.
There's a massive target on your back, especially, you know, the start Worthing have had, the start Barnet have had, even Shields to an extent, Scunthorpe too. You know, when you're doing that well, you're the team that everybody wants to knock off the top and put themselves on it.
Well, the funny thing was that Braintree, they'd only won one of their six games so far this season. And one of the fans was speaking to the goalkeeper before the match, and I think they'd said they got sort of only five from the playoff side that played Worthing last season. Yeah. And then you looked at their stats at the end. I was looking at their stats at the end of last season, because obviously doing the commentary, and they only won three of their last 10 games in the league last season. They literally sneaked into the playoffs. So you're looking at that and you're thinking, well, Worthing form team, scoring goals, keeping clean sheets. But I think there was too many changes, bringing two new faces in that hadn't even trained with the team on the Thursday, as far as I know. it was too much. And I think Adam, you know, Hinterwood even admitted that in his interview after, you know, that, you know, he probably made a mistake with that one. But, you know, we generally have four or five bad displays each season. It's part of the supporting a football team, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah. we spoke to Chris a bit earlier about the North table and that. How do you feel the National League South shaping up at the moment? There's still a few clubs surprising you doing well and surprising you doing not so well.
I was going to say Avely are doing well, aren't they?
Great result for them at the weekend against Torquay.
They shouldn't have won at our place. If it weren't for the referee, they shouldn't have picked up the points there. But apart from that, they're doing absolutely fantastically well. Braintree being where they are, that sort of surprised me. Yeah. Like I say, because of getting in the playoffs last season, and just trying to think of else. I've been
having on Waterlooville, second bottom.
Since Christmas, they've absolutely capitulated.
Yeah,
isn't that about the sort of time? Isn't that about the sort of time that they signed, I can't remember his name, from Worthing?
Callum Keeley.
Yeah, so we sent him as a curse and it's worked.
Yep.
But Taunton are doing well as well.
Yep.
Hampton and Richmond, I expected them to struggle.
Really? Funny enough, I didn't. I thought they'd be the dark horses this year.
Yeah, Slough I'm surprised at.
Yeah.
Because they're a real team, they're a real gritty team that always seem to get stuck in. And I thought they played all right against Worthing, and the 4-1 defeat didn't justify their performance, to be honest.
Did you see Scott Davis's comments after the game on Saturday?
I haven't, no.
No, it sounded as if Slough didn't put in a performance that was worthy of anything at the weekend. So I wouldn't be surprised if either he changes things on Tuesday night when they play, or there's a bit of movement in and out, I think, this week, because, when you've lost, they lost 6 out of 7, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Something's got to change quite drastically, I think, for them.
Yeah. But then you've still got Torquay and Maidstone, two relegated sides in the top 7.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting. Bath at the top. Bath is quite, you know, might be a dark horse.
I watched them a few weeks ago, actually. I was quite impressed with them at Eastbourne, to be fair.
And they got hammered by Western Supermare 6-0?
6-2, yeah, at home, yeah.
6-2, yeah, at home. Yeah. And it's like, what's that about?
Crazy,
so Worthing have had a hammering on the weekend, but I think that's just a one-off fluke result, in my opinion.
Could well be, couldn't it? We'll see, won't we, over the course of the next 7 days. I mean, it's a big week for both the National League North and South, with a game on the Tuesday night and the Saturday. You get 9 points out of that. You know, between both of you, Pete and Chris, it can make an absolute, you know, foundation difference to the rest of the season, can't it?
Huge, hugely.
Excellent. Right.
Just quickly, going on about surprises. Talk Eastbourne. Do you reckon they're struggling with going going full time, or is it just a case of?
Honest opinion was when I went two weeks ago, I think, when they played Bath, they've got three or four players that are good National League South players. Alex Finney and Jack Paxman, who obviously was at Worthing last year, Pete.
Good player.
Yeah.
Good player.
The goalkeeper, Ben Dzinski, who's from Dartford. And obviously Sam Beard joined them on loan as well. So you've got a full-time National League player there. So, but beyond that, the rest were a bit, it's not they weren't sloppy or anything like that, but they were that little bit behind the play. Those guys were 2 seconds in front. And I think going overnight from part-time to full-time in the space of 3 months, I think a few people got a little carried away the first two games when they drew and they won. And then they didn't pick up another point until they won at the weekend. So it'll come for them. And I think as well, now the EFL transfer window's shut, there'll be a bit more movement of Football League players moving about, especially some youngsters, which Mark will have a good contact book for as well. So I'd expect to see him climb the table, yeah.
Yeah, I think with anything, when you're getting a lot of new players in and you're changing the structure of a club, it's just going to take time for everyone to settle, blend, get to know each other's game, etc. So I'd expect them from sort of probably November, December to be a force. And obviously we've drawn them in the FA Cup today away from home. So I'm hoping
talk more about that later, shall we?
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we'll get to the FA Cup.
I was linking in beautifully there.
Yeah, seamlessly.
It was seamless until Gareth bought it up.
Well, now Gareth has gone and spoilt it then. Let's go and talk the FA Cup, shall we? Second.
All right, guess who Irvine have got?
Who did you get, Pete?
By the time we play Eastbourne, I'll carry on. On the 16th of September, I think it is.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they still won't have gelled enough and we're going to come away with a victory. But I still think there's warm ball syndrome in that hat because we drew Eastbourne last season in the FA Cup. What are the chances of that?
Mm.
But instead of at home, it's away.
We normally have Shildon. And this year, we've drawn home to either Bishop Auckland or West Auckland. So it's a terrific draw for Shields. Couldn't get a better draw than that, really.
What level are those clubs?
Northern League. So they are two steps below. Yeah, two steps below. One of them might be three. Can't remember.
So it's like a bye?
Well, I am not saying that.
I didn't hear that.
I'll tell you what. No disrespect to those clubs, of course. It's just banter. It's just banter.
I'll tell you what's
But actually, seriously, Shields do class the FA Cup as a very serious, serious competition. Not to win it, of course, but to get as far as possible. Is that something that Worthing, Barnet, do they take it seriously?
I think we take it seriously, but... We'd love a cup run.
I think you're due one.
Yeah. We are due one. But what I always find happens is because obviously we've got I think we're up to 24 man squad now. And you could easily pick two teams. So obviously it's difficult to keep everybody happy. So I think in the cup games there's lots of changes, etc. It's just a nightmare for the manager. But in your silver changes on the FA Cup day, and you're always like, are we taking this seriously? But we definitely do. But
Barnet, Trev,
yeah, we take it the FA Cup definitely very seriously. I mean, even when we come in at the fourth qualifying round, it's a pot of cash that could pay half a young player's wages for a year if we pick up a youngster. So, I mean, last year, what did we get past? I can't remember. We beat the fourth qualifying round, but we got Accrington away in the first round proper, and I think it's the first round proper, and we should have come away with something, at least a replay, but conceded a 78th-minute goal. But, I mean, we took the trophy seriously last year, got to the semi-finals. So, any side that doesn't take the FA Cup seriously for me at whatever stage you're at is just really why you bother entering the competition in the first place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that. And I'm sure all clubs do because there's little pots of gold along that rainbow, isn't there? Of qualifying and qualifying and qualifying. But would you rather have the trophy run to Wembley or like down here, your Sussex Senior Cup final at the Amex? And concentrate on those competitions rather than the FA Cup, which you're never going to win in a million years.
I'd like to get to the third round and draw someone really nice away from home. We haven't had that for years, absolute years. So I'd love to have that, and then I don't mind if we don't get anywhere close the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, Barnet have got a better chance because of where you are,
in
the National League. For sort of us clubs, sort of another step back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've got to look at it. Yeah, it'd be nice, but I'd rather win in a trophy and a Sussex Senior Cup to have a good day out in the Amex.
I think it depends what you want, doesn't it? If you want to get some money into the club, a nice little FA Cup run, we'll do that. If you want trophies, then you go for like you're saying.
The FA Trophy will give you money, though, won't it?
Not a great.
Have you not a great deal?
Not as much. But if you get to Wembley, etc., and
yeah, it is worth it. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I mean,
there's a couple of ties I picked out as well, Chris. In your half the draw, Scunthorpe against Brackley, which is the top two at the moment.
I was going to say that one.
There are a few all same division ties, aren't there? There's going to be some big names go out regardless of who.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another one I picked out, Hadley or Stenning. Stenning's just up the road from us. Winners of that are at home to Maidstone United. So that's, I think Hadley is step four. So that's either step four or five against Maidstone United, which will be a quite a tie. And I want to give Eastbourne United a shout out, who are County League step five down here through to the second qualifier round, which I think is either the first time in their history or in quite a while. They've drawn Burke Hampstead, who I think are step four, so a reasonable chance for them to get through.
Well. I think I saw the other one as well. Is that Erith or Hastings versus Dover? I think Dover, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be. But both of those teams, if on their day, stand a chance.
Absolutely.
Of beating Dover.
Torquay United away to Wimborne. Former Torquay man Tim Sills is a manager at Wimborne, so.
Mm.
Giant killing all over. That's got written, hasn't
it? Yeah, some great ties. It's for me, it's been a good draw. It's like sometimes you think, here we go. But that's a good draw for a lot of clubs.
Yeah, well, the winners of this round, 3,375. The losers, 1,125. For those. So there we go.
Every little helps.
It does.
Every little
helps. Indeed. We touched on briefly as well the FA Trophy, and that kicks off this weekend as well, with I think it's the first qualifying round. When do you guys come in? Is it first round proper, second round proper?
It's first round proper,
isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because it's obviously slightly different to the FA Cup. There's not quite so many entries, but I was sitting there having a think today while I was writing away and stuff, and obviously the FA Trophy for the club starting this weekend in step four. The chance of them making A to Wembley or B having a decent run is a little bit remote. And obviously the FA Cup's not going to get them any kind of money either once they've gone past the first couple of qualifying rounds, they're likely to be out. VARs is obviously for steps five and six. Is there a little call for a competition in between, or are we overloading the FA competitions, do you think?
Overloading.
Okay. Why?
Too many competitions. Sussex Senior Cup, Trophy, FA Cup. That's enough. Thank you very much. Because you know the league is the biggest prize in the goal promotion.
I wasn't going to lump step two into that. Actually, I was more thinking steps three and four, because I mean, like, take the sides that have gone up from step five into four this year. Chance of them actually having a good trophy run, winning it, something like that, compared to maybe the Vars the year before is remote. I mean, I think possibly, like you, Pete, it's a little bit of overkill, even just for those clubs in the middle. But when you've got, I think it's the Velocity Trophy that the Isthmian clubs play in their League Cup.
Yeah.
It's optional. They don't have to play in it. So mm-hmm. You abolish something like that. I don't think the Southern League have a cup anymore. Do the Northern Premier still have a League Cup?
Can't remember it being played last season.
No. So I don't know if there's room for it, just more for the fact of for some of the sides that start out this weekend, and even if they mm-hmm. win a game, they've still got to win maybe another two or three to even get to face someone like mm-hmm. a South Shields, a Worthing, a Barnet or something like that. So it's almost, I don't know, it's almost to me like a bit of a worthless competition for them, because they're not going to gain much traction out of it.
So perhaps a Trident Trophy, but you'd need... So like the Trident Leagues, you know, step three and four. But then you'd need a good sponsor to provide good prize to make it worthwhile.
Yeah,
exactly.
You've got Northern Premier League clubs traveling all the way down to Isthmian League clubs and vice versa. And you need to make it worthwhile. Mm, but it's a good idea. So that might be an idea. But I can't see it coming, getting off the ground.
No,
not enough money.
No.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
Maybe if more people listen to us, we could have the PNLP Trident League Trophy.
Pete, what do we make? We make about 50p an episode.
If that.
I thought James takes 49p.
He does. Majority shareholder. Majority voice.
Oh, dear.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right, so we've had a look through the FA Cup, we've had a look through the FA Trophy starting this weekend. We thought we'd take a little bit of time this week, as obviously we're not filling it full of guests this week, and we'll take a little look through the leagues at step 3 and 4, because 1 and 2 get a lot of coverage between the 4 or 5 of us on here when James actually does make it and isn't flying somewhere, who knows where.
Part-timer.
Well, that's coming from the part-timer down in my bottom left-hand corner.
Yeah, I've got an excuse though. What's flying at 35,000 feet as an excuse? I bet all those aeroplanes have got Wi-Fi on them anyway, haven't they?
Yeah, could you imagine James just sort of like, you know, dropping off in the middle of a trolley dolly service? and not to sort his mascara out either. But anyway, back to the football. There's a whole pyramid underneath what we, you know, what us guys actually go and watch a lot of the time. And there's some great clubs in there, some teams doing really, really well at the moment. So, Chris, do you want to kick us off with one or two?
Yeah, Radcliffe and Mickleover. I'm not wholly surprised by Radcliffe, if I'm honest, this road they're on, this journey they're on, started kind of last season or even the end of the season before. And the committee there are putting a lot of work in and some no little amounts of cash either. And whether he's still there, I haven't checked in or not, but Colin Hendry was there last season as assistant manager, former Blackburn and Scotland centre-back. So they've recruited well. They've got a rich history, Radcliffe, but they're a step. So if you look at that league, everyone expected Worksop and Macclesfield to come in and just, you know, butcher the league, but the Northern Premier League doesn't work like that. South Shields couldn't do it, and it looks like Worksop and Macclesfield aren't going to do it either. They might end up winning the league, but they're not going to butcher it, because Radcliffe have proved that they're up there. They were a good side last season, particularly in the last third of the season, and they've continued where they left off. So I'm not wholly surprised, because they've got the knowledge of the league, the knowledge, to quote something like London Taxi Drivers, they've got the knowledge, which is worth its weight in goal in that division. Yeah. Likewise,
24 goals in 6 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And only 5 conceded.
Yeah. And Mickleover, similarly, you know, they spent most of their time in the Northern Premier League up until last season. They moved over to the Southern Premier Central. And they were always a thorn in South Shields' side, if I'm honest. Very difficult to break down, particularly at home. They've got a 3G pitch and they're very tough to break down. They always had Stuart Bevan up front, former Football League striker. And he could get goals at any time. I mean, he was getting on, you know, but he had that nous, that tactical ability. So that it's a bit of a surprise, but I'm not hugely shocked by the fact that they are doing as well as they are either. Because they've got experience of tough leagues, and that experience is, well, it counts for a lot.
What's happened to as you pronounce it, Mask, Chris, down towards the bottom?
Mask. The So last year, at the end of last season, they brought their Herculean manager back. He's done it time and time again, got them out of the clarts. And they've got one of the best goal scorers around in Adam Boyes, but they were very, very limited elsewhere. I think the appointment of the previous manager was a misguided decision. Curtis Woodhouse, I just don't think that was a good appointment at all. And he left them in such a pickle that it was hard to pick up the pieces. They managed to stay up fantastically well, but they're limited. There's no doubt about that. And seeing them struggle again so far this year, that's no surprise to me.
And the other two at step three we've got who are unbeaten in their 5 and 6 games are Chatham Town and Merthyr. Chatham, I say a little bit surprised, but I thought they'd come up and do well. They've recruited well again. They've had a double promotion. So what's the chance of them getting a triple promotion?
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Very hard to get
all the way through. But I mean, they had the, you know, again, they've got a good budget, but they are very well supported as well. They came a cropper in the FA Cup at the weekend, actually, against Division Lower Ramsgate, who are among the favourites to go up from the South East Division. They got hammered 5-1 at home, which is unheard of. I think up until they played Three Bridges in November last year, they've been unbeaten at home for about a year and a half, 2 years or something like that. They're really strong, Chatham at the Bowville. And Merthyr have surprised me, as we mentioned before we came on air. Obviously, they mothballed themselves during the COVID times, and they've certainly come back with a bit of a bang, haven't they? 6 out of 6 on the opening 3 weeks.
A historic non-league club.
Yeah. Always remember them in the National League itself. You know, just about holding their own in there. You know, really, really good. And it's a bit difficult to, when you get down to step four, because the FA Cup and FA Trophy is just about to get in the way. But there's such a disparity of games, like in the Midland Division, they played 4, 5, 6. You go down to the South East Ishmael Division, they played 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
So there isn't a lot of rhyme or reason to quite a lot of the step four sides at the moment. But we'll dip into step five, and I'll take a little look out for AFC Croydon's results because of the Stormzy and Zaha connection. Obviously, they're expected to do well, and they probably have a lot of eyes on them so far. But they're sitting about seventh from bottom, and Guildford City are top, winning 5 out of 5. So do we think there's going to be a case of, if they're not challenging in the next 4 or 5 games, they've only played one less than everyone else, there might be a little change, depending on how quick these guys want to move?
Probably. Zaha's used to Premier League, you know, merry-go-rounds. If he's used to that, the trigger will be pulled, I'm quite sure.
I think also they're two well-known faces that have put some money into a club. They're not going to... I think you saw it at Salford when Class of 92 took over. There was lots of managerial changes in a very short space of time. I think that was at the point where Gary Neville was making himself look a bit silly, wasn't he, at that point?
Yeah.
and I love Red Nev, but yeah, he made himself look a little bit silly then.
Just having a look at the Northwest Counties League Premier Division, right? I'm looking around the rest of the leagues, and everyone's played probably a maximum of 7. Some have played 8. The size of this division that played 10 already. We've only just at the end of August. I know.
10?
Yeah, 3 sides in that division have played 10 games. The lowest is 6.
Wow. And it looks. Did they start in June?
I don't know, but it looks a little top heavy. I've got to say, the size of the table compared with some of the others, but that's phenomenal.
You look at the Wessex League Premier as well. Wessex League. Baffin's Milton Rovers have played 7 at the top of the league, and at the bottom of the league you've got Petersfield Town have only played 2. AFC Stoneham have only played 2.
I'm sure there's a very good reason. I don't know what it is. It's very baffling. 10 games in, I mean, I thought I thought with the National League playing six games in August was, you know, fairly high. But yeah, my God, to get 10 games in as a part-time, real part-time player, you know, that's some going, isn't it?
Wow.
Really is, lads. So there's step five. So we dip into six as well, as that's far down as we go almost.
I've done a couple of step seven games this season.
You have?
Okay. I don't ask me to talk about them. But
Well, no, because you don't remember. You're looking at the inside of a pram.
Only again, on one of them.
Again, one of the Northwest Counties League. This side's played 11. One's played 11.
Jeez.
11 games by the first week, end of September. My God. I'm a bit shocked. I didn't expect leagues to load fixtures that really that high for clubs at that level, but blimey, fair play to them anyway.
There could be a thing with these lower level clubs where they want to front load the seasons, so if they get postponements in the winter.
I think I did say to you, Chris, last year the Northern Leagues tend to front load their seasons really well.
Yeah. They do, Trev, but they start later. Why don't you just start a week earlier? You know, like the National Leagues. Why? It just seems balmy, particularly when you consider the weather looks set fair for the foreseeable, you know.
Chris, yeah. You've got to realise by now there's no common sense in football.
True. It's true.
Brilliant.
This is more for Trev and Pete, but East Preston at the bottom of step six in the Southern Combination League played five games in the league. They've scored four and conceded 23.
Jeez.
I think they're bang in trouble, I think.
They've been so poor though. I watched them a couple of seasons ago, and they had a team full of like lonely youngsters. Some were Worthing kiddies. Some were Bognor kiddies. And they're playing a team of men, and they just got, I can't remember who the opposition was, but they just got absolutely battered.
I think it's very much that this season. I've been to watch them play once this season. I went once, and they were playing against a team where two of their players from last season moved across, including the goalkeeper. And the goalkeeper they had in goal, I felt really sorry for him because he can't have been much older than sort of 19, 20. And he just, his mates were on the sideline giving him grief because his mates. And I felt really sorry for him. So much for I started giving him, giving the guys grief for giving him grief. But he had an absolute shocker in that game. I think one of them actually, one went straight through him, off the post and hit him on the back or something like that. It was, I felt really sorry for him, but they're looking very inexperienced. I think they're doing
I think that's obviously an ongoing issue for East Preston. I don't think they've got the, comes down to money, doesn't it?
Even at that level, at
the end of the day.
Well, you're right, because if you look in the Northern League Division 2, you've got Newcastle Blue Star. Newcastle Blue Star is a very historic non-league club, a big club, former Vars winner back in the day, I'm sure. And they have put some money together, and they're going to keep an eye on them in Northern League Division 2. They've got a good little thing going. Money does talk. They've got some former South Shields players there. So you've got former National League players and all kinds of stuff going on there. Money talks.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, actually, I went to Brockenhurst and Shaftesbury last week in the Wessex League. And up front for Shaftesbury was Brett Pittman, the ex-Bournemouth striker. He's paid a nice little fortune in that league. But on the opposition side for Brockenhurst, there was Craig McAllister and Craig Stanley, who were both at Eastleigh within the last few years as well. So it's nice to see the pros dropping down.
Yeah.
As well. It helps as well. Brockenhurst have got a really young side. as well. So when you can get the young pros dropping down, it makes it 10 times easier. Now, right on cue, just as I was expecting our little special guest to turn up, I did ask Dean Brennan to come along, but Dean's blown me out this evening because the National League South game is deemed slightly better. So I've gone one better and got his assistant. So welcome to the Premier Non-League podcast, Connor Smith.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Normally,
James hosts the show and I get to chat about Barnet, but as you're here tonight, I can get you to do it instead.
Please God, the kids are quiet. That's the main thing.
Don't worry, I've got cats running in and out, so I won't worry.
I've bribed mine with chocolate. He's in his stayed in his room. He hasn't been out yet, so
I'll have to try that next. If it don't stay down,
yeah,
stick it with them. So top of the league again, second time already this season after the win at Borehamwood at the weekend. Are you slightly surprised how far up we are up the table, or is it about where you both expected us to be?
I think if you looked at the start we had, we probably all would have been ecstatic with this points return after this many games, considering some of the teams we've played. So top of the league, probably maybe not expecting to be up that high, but we backed ourselves to get a good points return. But again, as I said, when you consider we played Bromley, who were obviously playoff last year, Woking come fourth, Eastleigh, who just missed out, Bournemouth, who obviously got to the semi-final. So to play teams that are that caliber already this season, that's just a few. Hartlepool that have come down that are going to be up there, I think. So a lot of our games, even Dagenham, Strev's obviously a very experienced manager at the level, really, really good manager. So we knew that was obviously going to be a tough test. So maybe we didn't expect to be top, but what a bonus. But we always backed ourselves to do well, and we're really, really happy with the points return we've got so far.
And then for you, obviously, you stepped up this season from being a player coach to just a single coach, although I know you were expecting to play, weren't you, this year when I first came down to training, first day of the season?
Yeah, to be honest, I all summer worked hard, was basically in every day all summer just to make sure I got myself back to probably the fitness levels that I was majority of my career, with an eye on playing a lot more. And then obviously we all know what happened. Obviously John Drea tumble, he leaves 2-3 days into pre-season, and obviously then the plan changes. And then once Dean offered me the role as assistant manager, obviously I knew that came with basically hanging the boots up or stepping back from playing. So obviously I had to think about it, but I didn't want to turn down the opportunity, knowing that was always kind of the path and the plan was to transition into that anyway. So maybe it's come around a little bit quicker, but yeah, definitely couldn't turn it down.
So how's the transition been for you going from player to assistant coach all of a sudden?
To be honest, obviously this is my third season on the management team of a National League club. Obviously being with Borehamwood 2 seasons ago now, and obviously Barnet last year. So within both seasons, I've had long term injuries as well. So I've had periods in the seasons, last 2 seasons, where I have just been more management team rather than playing due to injury. So it's not been a massively tough transition, considering I have had experience at it, if not loads, but obviously experience the last 2 seasons. So it doesn't feel too dissimilar to them periods. Obviously I was doing a lot of work last year when I was injured anyway, so the transition has been hopefully smooth, and hopefully Dean sees it the same way. So if you ever get him on here, maybe you can ask him if he sees it as smooth as I have.
That'd be nice. Yeah, obviously last year we had ourselves, the squad depth wasn't quite there, was it? We knew we had a really good first 11, but we were lacking that little bit extra to bring players on. How did that recruitment basis kind of change over the summer? Because obviously I've spoken to Kirk, yourself and Dean, know how it works, but I just wanted to kind of explain to the guys how you guys go about it. Like, obviously Dean's out scouting tonight, as we know.
Yeah, to be honest, obviously as you said, Trevor, you've been in the office and you've been a part of some of the conversations. You know how early we started prepping and planning players, and obviously players that we liked to obviously gear up for this season. You obviously touched on squad depth. I think last year, I think if you ask anyone, especially with the trophy run and obviously a couple of rounds of the FA Cup as well, we probably played more games than what our squad was capable of. And I think that came to a head from pretty much March onwards. We were Saturday, Tuesday for 6-7 weeks in the spin, and the results sort of tapered off toward the back end of that. I feel this year our squad's a lot stronger. We've obviously lost Ryan de Havilland and a few of the loanee lads, but other than that, we've kept the core group that you'd want to keep together from last season, and I feel added real strength to it. So we feel like we're in a good position, maybe still a couple of light of where we want to be, but definitely much better place than what we were last year to hopefully have a real push this season.
Okay, we were in a chat earlier, obviously before you came on, about sort of FA Cup runs, trophy runs, etc. And obviously there's good men in the FA Cup, but which sort of cup run would you prefer?
I've been to the semi-final of the trophy twice, and then I've been to the third round of the FA Cup twice and the fifth round once. And I don't think anything beats a massive away tie or a big club in the FA Cup.
Okay, Trevor.
obviously, of course, obviously you want to win silverware in your career, of course you do. And obviously, we all know. Listen, we're not gonna win the FA Cup, are we? Let's be honest. But and we've obviously got a real good chance if we were to push in the trophy to actually getting some silverware. But some moments that stay with you in the FA Cup. Mm. I've had the luxury of playing Liverpool at Anfield, who I'm a supporter of. Obviously, Everton at Goodison Park. I've played Man United at Yeovil, so I've had some big ties, and some of the best nights of my career have been within the FA Cup. So maybe that's the old school of me as well. I always remember watching the FA Cup final as the last game of the season. So, and there's the kids right on cue crying, but they're all right for a little bit. But yeah, so FA Cup for me is if I had to pick one.
Yeah,
I think the chairman would probably agree considering the revenue it brings in as well. So
exactly.
I told you, Pete.
Okay. Yeah, my father hated football, and the only game he would let me watch on the TV each year was the FA Cup final, and I was football mad. So
yeah.
How's
Okay, guys. I'm going to settle down on that one there.
How's Marvin looking this year?
He was excellent last year in the bit part he played. I think Dean's been brilliant at kind of just bedding him in slowly, not giving him too much too soon, obviously considering his pathway to where he's got to now. But he's an explosive lad. You see him when he comes on at halftime against Bromley, and he really affected the game for us, and he's got that in his locker. The question we ask him is, can he do it more consistently? When he starts games, he might have a brilliant 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and he can kind of taper off. So we're trying to manage him as best we can. We know what he brings. He's a massive asset to the club. We all agree on that. But can we now try and get that over longer, sustained periods within games?
Yeah. Connor, obviously, he came from Worthing. I had the privilege of commentating on Marvin for quite a few games. Now, I sort of used to call him the Carlton Palmer of Worthing, if you remember Carlton Palmer.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes his legs didn't quite sync with his head with some things that he'd done. He was in the nicest possible way because he's a cracking player and he's a little midfield dynamo. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear he's doing well. Will he be involved more this season?
Listen, we hope so. As I touched on there, I think Bromley away, he made a brilliant impact off the bench at halftime. Obviously, with Idris on a yellow card and basically on the brink of getting a second, so we had no choice but to make the change. And he came on and he made a real impact, as I said. So, listen, we know he can do that. I think if you were there, Trev, do you remember Bromley away last season? It's probably one of the best 60 minutes I've ever seen from a player at this level. So his ceiling's incredibly high. But it's, again, as you touched on, maybe can he get there more consistently is obviously what we've tried and got to get out of him, what he tried to get out of himself. So that's the task of Marv. Listen, we know he's got the ability and he's definitely he's willing and he works hard. So can we somehow get that out of him more consistently? Because when he's on his day, there's not many. I wouldn't want to play against him when I was playing, I'll be honest. He's one of the worst things you can think of playing against. He's so quick, so explosive, so aggressive, so definitely an asset for the club. And we've obviously, as I said, got to try get that album more consistently.
Yeah, you just don't know what he's going to do, do you?
Exactly. But listen, if he doesn't know what he's going to do, no one else will. So it's not a bad thing. The opposition don't know what he's going to do they?
Well, give him my regards when you speak to him, please.
Will do, yeah, brilliant.
last thing, Connor. Mark White's comments after the recent game yesterday about the 3G pitches is something the four of us have had a little bit of debate about in the group and everything. Obviously, we've got grass and 3G at the Hive. We spend time playing on both against opposition clubs and that. When we're playing someone on 3G, do we specifically go and prepare on it? Do we do still a little bit of work on grass? And how does it sort of fit?
We would normally do on a not the full week, but maybe a Thursday, Friday, we would touch on it just if we're going for any sort of shape or anything, we'd do it because obviously the ball moves slightly different. To be honest, for Bromley, we stayed in the grass. We have, unfortunately, we've got lads Unfortunately, we've got lads who struggle a little bit on the Astro over a certain staying period. So if we want to get proper tactics into the boys, it's better to stay on the grass for us. So listen, you hear loads of things of experienced lads with knee or joint problems that struggle on Astros regularly. So we try and get on the grass as much as we can, but thankfully we have that luxury. If it's proper bad weather, we can go on the Astro, but we tend to stay on the grass as much as we can.
Do you find the injuries are becoming a bit more common from players that are having to play on that surface? Or
I'm sure you've probably looked into stats, so you're probably going to tell me, but I suppose they probably do. I know. I don't think I've ever been to Oxford City and not come away with an injury. Every time I've been to Oxford City, someone gets injured, and that's not a great Astro, but it's just some people don't like playing on them. I never minded it myself, it never bothered me, but I suppose if you're on it consistently, there probably is a study behind it where there probably is an increase in injuries. It wouldn't surprise me if there was. I said I'm not sure on the stats, but going off experience, I would assume there's probably increased injury if you're on it for a long period. Yeah.
Well, I think Mark White said he's had 5 ECLs in like 4 seasons.
6 years or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is obviously scary.
Yeah, of course it is. And listen, the problem he's got is, and any club that trains and plays a match on Astro, there is going to be a cluster of players that you're trying to recruit that can't do it, so you're going to miss out on certain players. And that's through no fault of the clubs, by the way, or the player themselves. But that's just the way, unfortunately, some players are. Some players are obviously susceptible to injuries more than others, and AstroTurf can often bring out certain injuries more than others. So I think obviously players have become more aware, and obviously clubs probably have as well.
Yeah, and you've got obviously the small clubs that rely on the revenue from the community.
I completely understand why clubs do it. Definitely.
Yeah, there's such a huge argument for and one against. So it's sort of mission impossible, really.
Of course it is, yeah.
As a player, Connor, was there any sort of like extra sort of consideration taken into insurance or the new National League contracts with like, you know, the increase in injuries, if there are them, from the 3G services as well, or not really?
Obviously, all the EFL clubs, they have better insurance policies than what the National League clubs do. Thankfully, there is actually insurance companies out there now tailored for non-league players. And when I was playing, especially at Wheelstone, I had it myself. Our game, it was called, by Manny, run by Manny Duke. Just for situations like that, because obviously you got lads, especially in non-league, you got lads that are working. And if then, God forbid, anything happened in terms of a knee injury, as you said, an ACL or something, where they couldn't go on the site or they're self-employed, and they could obviously be out of pocket. So there is insurance policies in place tailored for non-league players, and I'd highly recommend players that are maybe working alongside playing to look into it. I think clubs at National League now should be okay most of the time, because they're all on full-time contracts, and if anything happened, the clubs will obviously, of course, look after them. They have that duty of care, and I think it's obviously become an almost fully professional league. So, but I think anyone that's part-time would highly recommend to do it, because as you said, there can be loss of earnings and it can affect obviously home life or work life outside of football. So maybe there should be better insurance packages for leagues in general, especially the North, South and the National League. I probably think there should be, considering the standard now. But that's obviously, who am I to say that? Just newly assistant manager at Barnet. So I think that's way above my pay grade. But being an ex-player, and obviously especially having played in the National League except for Wheelstone, I know how good the level is. Mm. And there's lads there that probably should be at full-time clubs, but it's obviously a risk every player takes every time they play a game.
Yeah, but I think that's important that you actually say that, Connor, because obviously you've played non-league, etc., and you see how important it is. Do you think maybe sort of non-league players could have more of an affiliation with like the PFA, etc., or should there be an equivalent non-league sort of PFA that the players concerned to?
Yeah, there probably should be, yeah. Obviously, the PFA does unbelievable, and thankfully I'm a member, and obviously once you're a member, you are for life. So I'm very fortunate I am a member of it, but there's lads that have had unbelievable careers and never played in the EFL that aren't members. And as I said, especially nowadays, you see the National League, it's almost a fully professional league. The standard's incredible. Very, very similar to League 2, I'd say, throughout the whole division. Mm. So maybe there should be something in place. I definitely think the insurance policies within the National League structure, National League North and National League South, should be better catered for the players, definitely. That is one thing I definitely think should happen.
Connor, thank you very much for coming on. We'll let you get back to the crying
kids.
No
problem. Thanks for having me.
Chocolate.
Take care.
Thanks very much, Connor. Take care,
cheers,
mate.
Thank you.
How about that? Special guest right on cue, just as if I just sort of clicked my fingers just like that, right? Time for us for to wrap it up. Where are we all going this week, Pete?
Saturday, I'm going to Worthing at home against Hema Hempstead.
Who are this game? This game's going to finish 0-0, I'm pretty sure.
Which one?
Chelmsford versus Hemel on Sun TV. You were talking about watching Hemel.
You know, we were talking about an hour ago, Pete, when we started.
Yeah.
I'm glad Pete's been awake. Gaz, where are you going?
Well, we half discussed it. Well, you half discussed it when you came around the other day about me coming tomorrow. The wife said, "You're going to football on Tuesday, aren't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, I am."
You might be breastfeeding, Gareth.
And then I've got to I think my daughter might be coming with me, but we'll see about that one.
What, tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, yeah. And then Saturday, not sure. Can't plan anything in advance.
Other than when
my mates drop it into the conversation in front of my wife, so she can't say no.
I'll try and do it more often.
So Tuesday night, Shields travel to Scunthorpe United.
Oh, you're doing an in-house commentary, aren't you?
Ronnie and I are commentating in the bar, so that the supporters can listen to our commentary. I don't know if Scunthorpe provide commentary on the stream or not, but we are going to commentate in the bar, and there should be some good numbers in there listening to us. And also, while we do so, we will be putting it on the Mixlr platform that we normally use anyway, so people at home who are watching the stream can also... There'll probably be about a 3-second delay, but they'll be able to pause the stream and then kick it on again and listen to us. So, looking forward to that. See, I don't know how it's going to work. I mean, it should work okay. The speaker system's good, fine. Yeah. So, yeah.
Chris, do you want a little heads up on this?
Jones would have just scored.
Yeah.
Because I've already made my debut on National League TV. Yeah, so what we're doing, because obviously we're doing it for our radio listeners as well.
Yeah.
So sort of every 15 minutes or so, just reminded the people that are watching the pictures that this is this commentary is around our listeners on Rebel Yell. So if we're stating the obvious where the ball is on the pitch, that's for the radio listeners' benefit.
Yeah.
not you watching the pictures.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and do a bit of a hybrid version. So not TV commentary, but not radio commentary, something in between if I can.
It's impossible, Chris.
Yeah.
I tried that because you've got your radio listeners and you're like, right, they want to know where it is. Because, I'm just naming the players and saying, because, it's quite obvious where the ball is. And I thought... Shit, I've still got the radio listeners. So now I'm like, over halfway, they're on the edge of the penalty area, that wide left, wide edge of the penalty area to the byline. People watching are probably thinking, what's this guy on? I can see that. But obviously the radio listeners are our bread and butter, basically. National League TV on, and we don't get paid for that. So
that's right. So, I'm really looking forward to seeing how it's going to work. And then on Saturday, we are back at home. We have 100% home record, and we try to maintain that on Saturday. It should be, like you said earlier, Trev, it's a week where you could, if you get the right results, really put a good platform in for your early third of the season.
Yeah. And then obviously, all teams look at 10 games.
Yeah,
as the first real starting points of the season, so we'll be up to 9 by next week.
Yeah,
so you're going to be looking at the table and thinking, right, is this where the season's going to be for us? Are we going to be down there battling relegation? Are we going to be a mid table side, or are we going to be fighting for promotional playoffs? So,
absolutely,
interesting time of the season coming up.
Indeed, I'll be joining Pete at Worthing on Tuesday night against Welling, and Gaz if he actually makes it. And then Saturday, I'm going FA Trophy, Broadbridge Heath against Grey Valley Paper Mills.
Oh, that might be a good one. Well, I might join you at that one.
Go for it.
Yeah, I think I did invite Trev to do co-commentary tomorrow.
You did.
And he never answered me.
I did say thank you very much for the offer, Pete. I've got too many friends to see when I get there tomorrow. Honestly, I'm not being funny, but people from, friends, Gaz,
Don't do it, James.
Didn't do it. Chelmsford would have scored, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I heard you the first time.
Just ignore me, Charlie Ruff.
Oh, he's a good player. He is.
Yeah, he went back from having good player. Yeah, there's a couple of people to catch up with on Tuesday night, and Danny Blore, who's a Welling United manager, has always got time for an interview. So,
all right. So you're not going to be on National League TV, then?
Who, me? Oh.
Yeah, you're lost.
I'll be on that pitch invasion when Barnett win the title. Heard it here first.
Tell you what, if you weren't with COVID, you wouldn't be in that bloody league.
Yeah, well, Dover wouldn't exist either, would they? But they
That's
still
very
do,
true.
So there we go. Or possibly King's Lynn for that matter as well. Anyway, that's it from the four of us for this evening. Who knows?
Happy ending.
2 weeks' time, we actually may have five of us, but I wouldn't put any money on it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.